Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Daily life, we think too much. And because we think too much, we are not truly ourselves. Our body may be here, but our mind may be elsewhere. In the past, in the future, and therefore, when you breathe in and out, and become aware of your in-breath and out-breath, you stop the thinking, and you begin to be where your body is. Separated from each other. When you are not there, when you are not really there, you cannot see things very clearly and deeply. You miss everything. And that is the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness means to be aware of what is going on. And we are there by breathing in and out. Is to be really there and to be available to whom? Available to your beloved ones, and also to be ready to encounter life, because life can be found only in the present moment. Everything wonderful, everything refreshing, they are in the present moment. Therefore, running to the future or getting lost in the past, you miss life. And therefore, breathing in and out is to get back to the present moment where you have an appointment with life. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was the late, great Thich Nhat Hanh. So nice, huh? It's been interesting when he, you know, he's in his 90s and really just his whole transition. He looks at death as life, a return journey, a continued process, and it wasn't something that he was afraid of. And it makes us think a lot about the way we interpret life and death and the way that religion has shaped our interpretation of that and just life in it in itself. The burning of the Notre Dame, the collapse of a church in South Africa. There's a lot happening, especially in the course of religion, and people are starting to question now more than ever before. And I think it's good. It's good to question things because in the questioning is a great sense of freedom in life. Today, it is my privilege to welcome a return guest on air. Practicing optometrist Dr. Margaret Placentra Johnston is expanding her mission of providing clearer vision into the spiritual domain. Dr. Placentra aims to share a broader view about religion and spirituality than that recognized in the conventional world. Her first book, Faith Beyond Belief, which is where we first met her, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind, was named Gold Winner of 2013 Nautilus Book Award in Western Religion and Spirituality. Her second book, Overcoming Spiritual Myopia, A View Toward Peace Among the Religions, winner of the Body, Mind, Spirit Book Award in Spiritual Psychology, discusses many factors in Western culture that are calling us to enlarge our understanding, really, enlarge our understanding of who we are and how we are to show up in this world. It's huge because spirituality, religion, contemplation practices, prayer, meditation, everybody has a different interpretation. And I think in this book you'll find some deep clarity. Dr. Johnston also offers courses and speaks to groups on the topic of spiritual development and has been invited on numerous radio shows. Today we're privileged to welcome back my dear friend, Dr. Margaret Placentra Johnston.
Hi, Sister Jenny. Yes, Margaret is preferred, really. The doctor part doesn't refer to this topic, so I prefer Margaret. But anyway, I'm so happy to be on your show. Thank you.
Me too. Welcome back. Welcome back. So, let's talk about overcoming spiritual myopia. What is it?
So, spiritual myopia, the way I'm portraying it, is just that we, in our culture, up until now, we haven't had the opportunities to see a larger picture. You know, people lived in a certain place, and they only heard from people from their own culture. And so the religions that developed, were unique to a particular culture. But now, as we have globalization and cultural intermixing, we need to take a bigger picture. You know, why is it that every religion and every culture since the beginning of time has developed some kind of, you know, spiritual appreciations? What were all these different cultures looking for? And I think it's a necessary bigger picture that myopia is saying, okay, only my religion is right, only my people's way of seeing things is correct. And I just think it's time for our culture, especially in the United States, where most of us are relatively somewhat privileged. I just think it's time to give up that myopia, that short-sighted view that only my religion is right and everyone else should march to the same beat as I do.
Now, prior to writing the book and prior to morphing into who you are becoming, were you ever deeply religious as a young girl, like in your teens or in your early 20s? 30s,
yeah, yes, I totally was. I have 18 years of Catholic school under my belt, and believe it or not, right through grad school, but not my optometry degree, but I have other grad school work. Right, I'll never stepped foot outside of a Catholic school until I was probably 24. I just, of course, you grow up in this milieu and you never question. You know that there could be anything else. Of course, Catholics are correct. You know, that's the only way it could possibly be. But some privilege led me to attend the Catholic University of America starting in the late 60s. And at that time, I think perhaps influenced by Vatican II, the priests in our religion courses were really pushing us to question everything. And so, you know, I really am thankful to them for, because I probably never would have seen my way out of the myopia in which I had been brought up, except that we were told, if you give us catechism answers to these essay questions, you're going to fail this course. They wanted original thought. So starting then, I started with just, okay, I have to question everything. And I'm so grateful to them for doing that because, you know, I just feel like truth is bigger, way bigger than any one culture can see it. And I don't have a full view, but I'm open to, you know, any other culture's wisdom that wishes to, you know, share anything. I'm open to hearing that.
Right.
So, yeah,
sometimes I wonder, individuals who've been in these organized structures and religious beliefs that, you know, they do also mature. And I can speak even for myself, being in a very large spiritual movement, that what you felt when you first came in, which was, you know, the eyes of innocence, the renewed awakening, it's like, oh my God, this is it. And as you go through the middling stage, you start to maybe become a little rebellious about the questions and why and how did I get here? And then you reach a particular point of perhaps selecting, well, this seems universal, this seems beneficial, and letting go of certain things that you go, there's no way that makes sense. And sometimes I question those that are in those walls of structures in which they've left their lives behind 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. They don't know how to get into the world and integrate what they've taken, so they stay there. And there's sometimes internal frustrations about revealing what their truths are, which no longer connect to the doctrine. And I think that, you know, in your first book about, you know, folks who have left the church behind, it's not to say the church wasn't doing the work, but it's to say, thanks to the church, you've taught me what I needed, and now I'm going to integrate and move more and learn more, which is what I understood from your book and your reading, and also what it means to really, you know, break through a lot of our limited thinking.
Well, you know, Sister Jenna, that's pretty much hit the nail on the head, but I use different terminology when I speak. So it's obvious as you study spiritual development, according to the people whose work I've read, that you have to move beyond that outer authority, which comes from traditional religions. They just preach the outer authority, at least in the pulpit they do. You have to move beyond that through that stage of questioning somewhat so that you own the beliefs. You're not just parroting what you've heard.
Right.
You know, you own the beliefs, and then maybe you go through a period of distancing yourself from that particular tradition or from religion altogether. But that's what I think our churches, at least to my experience, are not doing a good job of, is helping people find their way back to some type of spiritual appreciations that are more individual, sort of, you know, something the person can own from within. You know, they preach the literal level. That's becoming untenable, I feel, in our current reality. That literal level is really just doesn't work well.
Right, and I get that, and I think this is where we need to sort of hone into our own power. And it's not to say that I don't get power from listening to you. I get power, but you can't give me power. I have to percolate that of myself, but what I can learn from you can contribute to the power that I have in me and will even have more of. So you talk about the need to incorporate new information into a broader perspective about religion and spirituality. So what would that broader perspective be?
So I, again, in all humility, I don't claim to be someone who can dispense truth, but I'm calling people to just look at a bigger picture and perhaps find their own. But the perspective I think is important is that there's a bigger story going on. It's bigger than any one religion. It's bigger than the atheists who have kind of said, oh, you know, dismissed everything about religion. There's obviously something else going on, and it connects us all, that is, you know, a bigger spiritual story. So I just kind of trying to guide people into finding their own way towards that, you know, whatever spiritual story makes sense, as long as it involves, you know, personal integrity and interpersonal integrity and, you know, not hurting anyone and all that, but also a way to appreciate how we're all connected, which I think leads us to a larger form of ethics and morality, where it's not just about saving my soul, but how can I make the world better for, you know, other people as well.
Beautiful. So you've said that each religion and every spiritual practice is trying to meet common need shared by all humans since the beginning of time. So what is that common need that you know we all share?
So you could describe it in many different ways, but I would say we need to connect to something larger than ourselves and to find meaning and purpose in life. And you don't do that by making the most money or being the most famous. That's not going to provide you with connection or meaning. So many people very authentically find that connection and meaning in a church, in a regular church or a temple or a mosque or whatever type of worship they relate to. But there are some of us who find that in our family connections, in our community work, in, you know, art and music and, you know, all different ways. And some people in other types of spirituality, that your meditation and, you know, chanting, you know, all these different forms, if that's where a person finds their connection, we need to, you know, allow that and honor it and not try to preach to them that they need to become a Christian or they need to, you know, join our particular form. Moving away from spiritual myopia is understanding that everyone's way of connecting, no one's way of connecting is better than someone else's. And if some people find validity in just, you know, through music, well, you know, good for them.
You know, what is it that makes us think that our way is always the better way? What is it?
Well, you know, again, I don't like the way sometimes my topic makes me sound a little bit arrogant, but, I mean, it's spiritual myopia. It's not understanding that there is a bigger picture. It's just, I think, human nature. What I have experienced is so real to me, you know, that I think that's what everyone should, you know, copy my experience. But my experience is not going to work for you, and your experience may not work for me. And so that's why I think we need to encourage people to grow beyond that type of, you know, preachy, outer authority, literal level of religion, and let people grow up, you know, spiritually and find their own way.
Is that why you love the Brahma Kumaris and the Meditation Museum so much?
I do, sister. I definitely.
Can I tell you?
Everything about your group is great.
You know, that's how I feel too. Because with the Meditation Museum, it's like, okay, here's the world. Here are all different ideas. Choose, find yourself. Find yourself, and you can see it. So, what's the most important take-home message for readers of your new book, Overcoming Spiritual Myopia?
Well, I like to just encourage people, be open to the questions. You know, when something, piece of information filters in that doesn't jive with what you've been taught by your religious leader, you know, weigh it for yourself and make a decision. Can I fit this into my understanding of the world, or should I throw it out? But there's an awful lot of people. Again, I speak for a population a little different from people who, you know, are involved with your organization. But there's an awful lot of people in the world still who are very, very reactive. And as soon as you say something that isn't in the Bible or isn't what their religious leader said, they right away, they knee-jerk reaction, it's not true, I can't hear you, you're not even human. So, yeah, I just like people, you know, loosen up and gain the confidence to, you know, rationally weigh things that come in against your current knowledge and see if you can fit it in and appropriate a larger form of knowledge than what you already have.
So let's say there is a group of folks, especially in our country, that seem to believe in certain rhetorics by certain people without thinking deeper. Strangely enough, I can only say for myself, when I look at the scene outside in, I go, oh my God, that is such theater. I mean, what this person is saying isn't true. And yet there's a very large community of individuals who go, yeah, this is my man, this is what we want, this is what we're going to believe in. So let's say one of those folks accidentally got a copy of Overcoming Spiritual Myopia. What would be some of the biggest misconceptions for them to kind of interpret that topic?
That's a really, you know, I'm afraid to say that I could not write my book to help that level. Because most of them, they're going to look at this and think it was inspired by the devil or, you know, some kind of a, you know, anarchist or something. And in all truth, I can't write for that level. I have to write for the level of people who are kind of on the verge, ready to let go of that kind of belief system. Or possibly those who have already let go and are searching for, like, your type of, you know, spirituality. They just aren't ready to find it, you know. But that's the kind of people I'm trying to write for. I cannot write for that level of literalists. They're not ready to hear this, and they would reject it entirely.
How do you know? What if you just happened, like, overcoming spiritual myopia? What's that? Like, what would you tell them?
Oh, well, I have to couch my comments to, you know, it's hard. If I know what kind of group I'm speaking to, I have to couch my comments a little differently.
Sure.
But, they actually, if you search like Christian websites, they use the term spiritual myopia occasionally, and they definitely use the word spiritual maturity too, and they define it as becoming closer to Christ or becoming, you know, more involved in that particular religion, which for them is completely valid. They have reached, you know, if they're getting as close to Christ as they can, or they're becoming as good of a Christian as they can, that is their level of spiritual maturity, and they think that, you know, non-believers of any sort are all spiritually myopic. So it's just a different way of seeing the world. I cannot, you know, people have to be ready to hear a larger story before they're willing to open their heart to it. You know what I mean?
What keeps you motivated? What keeps Dr. Margaret Placentra Johnston inspired, forward-thinking, curious?
Yes, I wish I knew that. You know, when I wrote my first book, I tried so hard to run away from that topic because I knew it was a very hard topic and it was going to take a tremendous amount of work. And I tried to run away, and it kept running after me, and I couldn't stop. The same thing happened with his second book. I was like, you know, I don't think I should write another book. I don't know if I have anything to say. And then the topic just, the whole, I think I've shared with you that on one of your retreats, the whole outline just downloaded in my head in that labyrinth at Peace Village. So I was like, oh, no, I guess I have to write another book. So something calls me, and I, you know, I listen when that calls me.
So then we've got a lot of what we call in the world today divisiveness. And I don't even know, because, you know, with the media portraying so much news, we think it might be a lot, but maybe it isn't. I don't know, but there seems to be a lot of divisiveness and conflict that we're witnessing around the globe. What is your vision for humanity, and are you optimistic?
You know, I am. The way I perceive the obvious tremendous increase in divisiveness that you see not just in our country but around the world, I fervently hope, and I try to hold faith towards this, that it is like a slight backlash reaction, not slight, but it is a backlash reaction in a constantly forward-moving trajectory in which humanity continually becomes more connected and more unitive. So every time you make a forward step towards unity, there's going to be a little backlash reaction of a certain segment of people pulling things backwards because they're not ready. But the overall trajectory, if you look, you know, through the history of time, really, I mean, people have become less and less violent. I know that's hard to believe in the light of all our shootings and things, but people have actually written books about the actual numbers of murders have decreased over centuries and over decades and even, you know, into the current time. And that we're suddenly, you know, no one, to my knowledge, at least in the 1950s and 60s America that I grew up in, no one would have ever thought that we would have transgender people would have any rights. You know, we were barely dealing with people of different races. You know, we still were a little bit, you know, against people of different races. And I know that there's still racial injustice going on, but I'm saying probably the average American is over the race thing, you know. and I just think that's kind of, you know, it's a sign of progress towards unity. And, you know, however many steps backwards we're taking currently, I do think the overall trajectory over decades and centuries and, you know, millennia is forward. I may not live to see it, but, yeah.
I love that. I agree with you. Things are much more civilized, and maybe our expectations towards it being even more civilized based on science and technology and just history, I think we carry that expectation within our own beings. And I trust, Margaret, that because of that expectation, there are pretty much a strong number of us that are working towards that utopia, that kind of a world where people are respectful
are kind, are willing to accept people even though they're different, and grow our humanity to maybe once was thousands of years ago and what it will be again, maybe in our very close tomorrow. So tell us your website where we can find more information about you and your work. And of course, you know, I'd love for you to do a book signing at the Meditation Museum.
Well, Sister Jenna, I would be so honored to do that, a book signing at your Meditation Museum. My website is mpjauthor.com. That's my initials, mpjauthor.com. My books are, of course, available on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. So the two books are Faith Beyond Belief, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind, published in 2012, and then Overcoming Spiritual Myopia, A View Toward Peace Among the Religion, just came out last fall. And thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. I always do with you. All the very best.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Jenna. You take care.
Take care. Yeah. Guys, this is a great read. I was happy enough to read it on the manuscript format and also offer an endorsement. And so Overcoming Spiritual Myopia, A View Toward Peace Among the Religions by Dr. Margaret Placentra Johnston. Go to her website at mpjauthor.com. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. Here's Ashe Ashe by Ricky Byers. Take care.
Ashe Ashe, my life is a good life. Ashe Ashe, my life is good.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in. and do be easy on yourself. Take care.